Turn to page 320 as we begin tonight. Page 320, we'll sing the first, the fourth, and the last verse. I will praise him. Verses 1, 4, and 5 together tonight. Sing it out in that first verse.
When I saw the
Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. And sure thankful for that. Well, do want to welcome you to our Wednesday night service, our oasis in the desert, as we often call it. Amen. And sure thankful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Be much in prayer for the classes downstairs, as well as the teen group meeting over there in our buses tonight. And so let's pray and ask God's blessing on our services. I'm going to ask Brother John Ellis if you would pray for us tonight. And won't you be seated tonight? And did just want to mention a few announcements here very, very quickly. Of course, this coming Saturday and Sunday, quite a bit going on. If you have kids in Faith Baptist School, Faith Baptist School is out. Yay, amen. And anyways, tomorrow is the Silver Dollar City trip. And so if you're planning to go to that, we are meeting here and leaving out at 5 o'clock in the morning sharp. And so make sure you're aware of that and ready for that. And then, of course, this coming Saturday will be our church-wide outreach at 10:30 in the morning. That'll be over in the fellowship hall. And then we'll head out, do some canvassing and things like that. And, of course, the reason we're having it this coming Saturday is because of this coming Sunday, be celebrating 68 years, amen, as Faith Baptist Church. And then, of course, also it is our Friend Day, and so certainly want to invite folks. This is what I'm telling you, people need to hear the gospel and be saved, but then people need a church home. And even going to see that tonight in the book of Titus as we've been going through the pastoral epistles, and so but you know, that's the whole idea here. And of course, our guest preacher this coming Sunday is going to be Brother Rocky Harrell, dear friend, longtime pastor there at Temple Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then of course also a longtime professor there at Heartland Baptist Bible College. And so looking forward to having him here with us. We'll have our regular morning service times, and so that means we'll have men's prayer. We'll have buses, we'll have our Sunday school classes, and then in the morning service, Brother Rocky is going to preach, And then we're going to head over to the E.J. Watson Gymnasium and have a lunch on the grounds, dinner on the grounds, whatever you want to call it. It is barbecue themed, and so we're asking all men far and wide who dabble in the smoked meats to help us out, amen. And going to have a good time and a big meal over there. And then, of course, we'll come over and have an afternoon service. There'll be no evening service or Bible study this coming Sunday night. So, again, make sure that you are aware of that. May the 13th through the 16th is the graduation week at Heartland Baptist Bible College. We're going to see a little bit of that tonight after the service. And so that Wednesday, Brother Keith Drinkard, our church planter over in Leawood, Kansas, is going to be here and preaching in our Wednesday night service. Some other things coming up towards the end of the month, May the 19th, there's a teen activity. So if you got kids in the teen class, you need to be aware of that. And then, of course, May the 26th, if you have any kids going to camp, there's going to be a camp meeting in the evening service in room 2, which is right up here next to the toddler nursery. Did want to also mention this. There are some flyers available for our Friend Day coming up this coming Sunday. If you'd like to maybe take some of those home with you, and maybe you've got a neighbor or a coworker or something like that, you'd like to personally invite them to come. I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, if you got your prayer list tonight, let's go ahead and get those out. And I did just want to mention a few things that we, of course, you can take the faith promise off. We totaled that up Sunday night, and we hit $162,000 and some change there, amen. And so praise the Lord for that. Somebody say amen tonight. Listen, I've been preaching a camp meeting in the middle of Kansas, all right, last night and this morning, and they say amen a lot. And now I come here, and I'm trying to adjust to the quietness, so pray for me, all right? And the other thing is I got a new pocket knife in that deal, and so I'm very excited about that too. So I'm just all over the place tonight, all right? But praise the Lord for our faith promise offering. Do pray for our Friend Day that's coming up this coming Sunday. Certainly we want to see visitors come and guests come and things like that. Pray for Brother Rocky Harrell. We certainly want him to feel at home, amen, and to be able to preach and those kind of things. Pray for just some things I wanted to mention on our health list tonight. Randy Frazee, which is about a little past halfway on the first column there, that's Brother Jim Wisdom's nephew, and he's been dealing with stomach cancer. He actually, they told him he had 5 months. They were trying to get him to go on to hospice, but he refused and went ahead and found a doctor that would do the surgery that needed to be done to take some of the tumors out of his stomach. And so he's been recovering from that. And Brother Wisdom gave me an update tonight that he's actually improving. He's been able to eat some solid foods like mashed potatoes and things like that. And he's not been able to do that for like the last couple of months. And so it's just amazing. And so just continue to pray for him. Of course, Miss Georgie Raymer's sister, Laura Stanfield, and so continue to pray for her. She's continuing to do well and is still on track to be able to get home, as she's been dealing with cancer there at MD Anderson. Also, Brother Kirk Staley, dear friend of some of our guys here in our church, and went to Heartland together and serving in the ministry there and in Montana. Is that where he's at, Montana? And so is dealing with kidney cancer. It is stage 3, and so if you would pray for him. And then also, if you would, just pray for the Bellises tonight. Been dealing with some health issues, Brother Chuck, as well as Miss Barbara Bellis, and I know they would appreciate that. Any prayer requests or updates or anything like that tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? Okay, Miss Melanie Edler. Praise the Lord. Good. Who is this? Okay. I got you. Yep. And so the stents were put in, but let's add her on there for salvation. Okay. All right. Absolutely. Because, listen, health and stuff, we want it. That's what the Lord commands us to do. But I'm telling you, the soul of man is going to spend eternity. So, absolutely. All right. Anybody else tonight? Miss Marie? Okay? So you got a follow-up appointment and then another appointment checking something out. Okay. Okay. All right. So let's pray for Miss Marie Christian and her eyes. And he's not taking your eye out, right? And I think I messed that one up one time. So, amen. All right. So let's pray. Continue to pray for Miss Marie on that deal. Okay, Natalie? Okay. So if you would, pray for my mom, Dorinda Cook. And she's got some upcoming tests and appointments. And so if you could pray for her, I'd really appreciate that. All right, Ms. Sue? Good. 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 Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, my. Really? Good. Okay, so that's Miss Debbie Nelson. All right. And absolutely, and continue to pray for Brother Roy. Good to see him here tonight. That's a real blessing. So, anybody else tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? Okay, Miss Sherry? Yes. Right. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we've seen one, so we'll keep her on there. And do continue to pray for the Sanders family as well, Brother Griffin's friend that passed away last week. So, all right. I saw Miss Marilyn Carr. Good to have the Carrs back with us tonight. It's a real blessing. So, all right, Miss Marilyn. Mm-hmm. So he's recovering from surgery. Okay, so let's add Brother James Moeller back on there and pray for him tonight. Okay, Brother Katanik? Good, good. Good. Amen. That's a real blessing. So pray for our one of our builder guys, Brother Glazeman, that we support, and of course no stranger here, and the work that he did on him and Miss Esther did on the missions house over there. And they're helping a good friend, Brother John Teeter, who's been planting a church for the last several years there in Blue Springs area, and getting a building started over there. And so that's a real blessing. So let's pray for that tonight as well. That's good stuff, amen, and exciting stuff. Anybody else tonight? All right, let's have our men come tonight, and let's remember these things in prayer, and pray for one another, and thankful tonight we've got a God who is faithful, amen, and can help us with these things. So, good to see Brother Rich Raymer tonight. Would you pray for us, brother? Yes. Yes.
Let's all stand together one last time. Please turn to page 527. Page 527, the longer I serve him. We'll sing both verses together tonight for our last song together. Page 527. Sing out on that first verse.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the
singing tonight. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. Go ahead and get your Bibles ready for the message tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Titus, the small little book of Titus tonight, to which I would say it's small, but it's very powerful and packs a large punch as Paul is dealing with Titus about setting things in order on the Isle of Crete. And you and I are actually going to dive in tonight to really what I would say to you is the theme of the entirety of the little epistle here. And being it the theme, it's actually going to be part one of a two-part message tonight. And you can rejoice in that because I had to stop after a lot of pages. Amen. But let's pick up where we finished off last week. But let's actually pick up in verse number one of chapter number one, just so you and I can see the context here in the entirety of the scriptures. And verse number one, the Bible says this: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, and I love this, that cannot lie, promise before the world began. God, listen, the plan of salvation was well established before God ever created everything else. And I'm thankful for that tonight. But look at verse number three. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. So it's a common faith. You and I tonight can share in this very same faith that Paul and Titus are talking about. Praise God for that. Now look at verse number five, because this is where we're going to really focus in on tonight. Because here's the intent of the letter. He says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, meaning lacking,
and ordain elders in every city, talking about pastors, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless. So here's the qualifications of those men that we'll get into, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. And so he says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality. He likes tacos. Amen. That's what that means in the Greek. No, I'm just kidding. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, not changing. Amen. Not changing. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, to exhort, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Father, bless the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, I'm just so grateful for Wednesday night. Lord, I know folks are busy throughout the week. They work hard. But Lord God, they make it a point to be in your house tonight. And so God, give them grace tonight. Help us to glean from your word in our midweek service. Help us to grow. Help us to be challenged. Help us to change. God, convict us tonight. Speak to us. And have your will and way in our hearts, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you be seated tonight? Now again, in our Wednesday night services, we have been going through what is called the pastoral epistles that have been made, that are made up of 1st and 2nd Timothy, and this epistle that was written to Titus. Now, we've already went through 1st Timothy. And then last week, we saw the introductory verses of this book. And so there's a little bit of contrast there as you and I are transitioning from 1 Timothy and into this. We know this, Paul calls both of these men his sons in the faith. And so that's the idea that whether or not these men were saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, in fact, Timothy was not, and I don't believe Titus was. Timothy was saved as a young man growing up under the influence of his grandmother and his mother, as Paul's going to deal with in 2 Timothy 1, who had that unfeigned faith, that faith that was not fake, amen? But both of these men, though they may have not have been saved under the Apostle Paul's ministry, they trained under the Apostle Paul and were given specific responsibilities within the ministry that God had called them to. Timothy, we know this, he was left at the church at Ephesus to establish sound doctrine. We also know this, Timothy seemed to be the younger, if you will, and Timothy, he just seemed to be the younger, kind of struggled with his self-confidence, his faith, those kind of things. The Bible talks about him needing a little wine, some grape juice for his stomach's sake, and those kind of things. And also, if you think about this, he needed more encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Hence the book of 1 Timothy is twice as long as the book of Titus. But now we come to Titus. Titus seems to be most likely the older, the more confident in the faith. He was given the more difficult responsibilities. In fact, if you're in your Bible reading calendar, you're going through 2 Corinthians, and you will find out that Titus was one of the key guys that Paul sent to deal with the believers in Corinth, the church at Corinth, which we know this is known as the carnal church. Boy, that was fun. But now he's left on the Isle of Crete, to which we're going to see later on in chapter number 1, where they are known as being liars and slow bellies. All right, let's don't get mad at me. That's what Paul said. Amen. And so, that's the idea here. And so he's left here to set things in order. And this is where you and I pick up tonight. Now, let me say this. In the introductory verses we saw, as we read there, verses 1-4, there's this underlying theme, if you will, that continually highlights things like truth, the Word of God, the commandments of God. You might get what I'm saying to you tonight? Come on, friend. It's talking about the truth, the Word of God. Well, why? Because that is the foundation. Listen, if you're going to set anything in order, it has to be set on a sturdy foundation. And there is no greater foundation than this right here. And so that's kind of the underlying theme. But now we find where Titus is given this command to then build up on that foundation by organizing churches on the Isle of Crete and then ordaining elders in every city. Well, why? Because without biblical leadership, things are going to go right back to being out of order. So here's the message to us tonight. Listen. God is a God of order. Come on, God is a God of order. And so he is not the author of confusion and chaos. So we would understand tonight that if God's a God of order, then who's ultimately behind the scenes and responsible for the confusion and the chaos in the world in which we live in? Well, that would be the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Satan. And so God has an order for His churches and His men and His people, and we are to follow that order instead of trying to rewrite the order. And doing the things that we want to do, because I'm telling you tonight, the moment that you do, whether it's a church, your family, your life, whatever the case may be, I'm going to tell you something. You will find yourself in wanting, meaning this, lacking, and some things being left undone, and confusion and chaos are going to follow. And so that's really what we're going to see tonight, setting things in order. And really we're going to focus on this first part tonight, which I believe deals with the relationship between the Lord's church and ultimately God's people. So we have four children, and our three older children, when they were all smaller, there were multiple times throughout their life and in our lives as a family where they would all be playing in the room together, and Natalie and I would be in the house or maybe outside or something like that and doing something else and busy and working or whatever the case may be. And then all of a sudden there would be this commotion that would break out in the bedroom, this sudden chaos and arguments and yelling and crying and somebody getting hurt and all of this stuff. And so I would walk in there as the dad and go, "Hey, what is the matter with you people?" To which it was usually followed by immediate silence and then more crying, because they knew they were probably in trouble. And then there were apologies, things getting right, and then things going back to normal, meaning peace, because I'm a big fan of peace in my home. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this, is that anything without organization and the right kind of leadership, it will always end up in chaos. And what I'm saying to you is this, what was Paul's concern for the believers on the Isle of Crete. Now let me say this tonight. The only time this island is ever mentioned outside of the book of Titus is all the way back in the book of Acts in chapter number 27. This is when Paul was taken as a prisoner by the Romans in Jerusalem after trying to plead his case before men like Festus and Agrippa. Paul began to realize this: I am not going to get a fair trial because these politicians want to continually appease the Jews. And so here's what Paul said: I'm appealing unto Caesar. And so here's what Agrippa said: unto Caesar you will go. And so he was shipped off to Rome. Well, on their way there, they stopped in a place called the Fair Havens, which was near a city called Lycia, and that's in Acts chapter 27 and verse number 8. Well, that place called the Fair Havens and near the city of Lycia, that was actually located on the south side of the Isle of Crete. The only thing we can figure out is, as often as he often did, Paul took the opportunity while there to give the gospel to the people on the island, regardless of his bonds as a prisoner. And so there must have been people saved. There must have been an open door. But because time would not permit, he knew that there needed to be churches organized and biblically ordained men placed in every city. Hence our man Titus in this epistle that we're reading and we're studying tonight. Without Titus setting things in order, these believers would be left to themselves. Spiritual immaturity would be as far as it goes. And instead of growing in their faith, being grounded in the Word of God in Christ, chaos and disorganization would be the end result, much like a church nursery full of toddlers when the supervisor walks out. You understand what I'm saying tonight? The reality is, listen to this. The reality is what Paul feared might happen in Crete is actually happening all over America today. Things are out of order. And the reason is because we've gotten away from the foundation of God's Word for our lives and even in our churches, and then built upon that foundation the way that God has commanded in His Word. Listen, the reason I said that God is a God of order is because the Bible declares that. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So again, if God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, then who is the author of confusion and chaos today? It has to be Satan. So in order to get away from that mess and get back to what I like, which is peace, we must turn away from the devil and the flesh and the world, and we must get back to a solid foundation, meaning the Word of God, and then build upon this the way that it says to do it. So in order to do that, let me just give you some things tonight that at least for me, when I look at this, that I draw from this text tonight, and we'll get the first two, and then next week we'll get into the third one here. But here's the first one tonight. To set things in order, we need to get back to old-fashioned Christian obedience. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. That might not be your favorite word, but that's the reason why things are the way that they are. It's because we despise stuff like that. But the reality is this, it pleases Him. One of the big reasons as to why so many of God's people seem to struggle and to live in chaos and confusion, listen to this, is because we become critics of the Word of God rather than humbling ourselves and making the Word of God, making the Bible the authority in our lives. And I said this a minute ago. I actually said it twice. Please listen to this. If God is a God of order, then who is the author of confusion? It's Satan. And here's what I want you to get tonight. Listen, when we become critics, when you and I do that, and we make the Word of God subjective to us rather than us being subjective to it, when we do that, you are falling right into the hands of the devil. Please listen to this tonight. That is exactly what he did when he first showed up in the garden with Adam and Eve. He put a question mark where God put a period in his word, and it lured Adam and Eve away from obedience and into criticism and disobedience. And here we are some 6,000 years later, still enjoying their chaos. There's a reason, listen to me, there's a reason why Paul left Titus on the Isle of Crete. It says this, it was to set in order the things that are wanting, meaning this, to take care of that which has been left undone. And one of the major things left undone was to organize local visible assemblies of baptized believers, which the Bible calls a church. And here's why. Are you listening? Here's why. Because people who are truly saved need a church to belong to and attend and serve Christ through. Well, why? so they can grow in their faith and learn to walk with God and have His peace and mercy and grace in their lives. But see, therein lies the problem. We're in the generation right now that wants to criticize everything, including this. Well, I don't need church, and I don't need this. And the problem is this: we've now made this optional. I said we've now made this optional. And as a result, the lives of God's people, listen, they follow after a pattern of spiritual immaturity, disorganization and chaos, as opposed to order and peace and the grace and the goodness of God. You understand? Listen. Let me help you with some things tonight, all right? And I now realize many of us know this, but you're going to hear them again. Because you need to understand this tonight. Christ died for the church, the Bible says, and gave Himself for it. I would say to you right there, that demonstrates, if there was nothing else that was given following this, that and that alone demonstrates the importance that we ought to make church in our lives. But let me also help you with some other things. Do you realize it? People go, well, I read the Bible and I don't need church. Do you not realize that much of the Bible, much of the New Testament was written to churches? Galatians was written to the churches in Galatia. Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth. Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. Colossians to the church at Colossae. Philippians to the church at Philippi, and so on and so forth. This is why God called men like the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, see people baptized, and then and placed into a local visible assembly called a church, and then to see them grow in their faith and to do exactly like Christ commanded in the Great Commission, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The point is this: being part of one of the Lord's churches and then faithfully attending and serving the Lord, it is really not something that is up for debate for the Christian. It shouldn't be. It's not something that's up for debate. It's not something that God thought up in the last minute. You know, in case you guys don't have anything else to do, here's church. That wasn't God at all, friend. No. Listen, this is what Christ died for. This is why He commanded in His Word not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because He knew we would need church. He knew we'd need to fellowship with one another. Come on, aren't you glad for fellowship, son? I can't wait till Sunday and I don't have to preach. That means I get to eat all I can. And I love fellowship, and I love being around God's people and God's men. And man, I just preached at a camp meeting and preached last night and this morning, and we sat and this afternoon had lunch and just sat there and fellowshiped and told stories and had a great time. Listen, it's good to be around God's people in fellowship. And it helps us in our growth and to fellowship and encourage one another and to pray for one another. You know, most churches don't even have a prayer list and take prayer requests. I think we ought to. That's what the Bible says to do. And then not only that, but we get to come in. And God is our audience, not you and not me. God is our audience. And we get to sing unto Him and glorify Him. And then we get to hear from His Word and learn what we believe and why we believe it and grow in our faith. But if we refuse those things, I'm telling you, We've got things out of order. We've got things out of order. And let me also say this, since I'm on the subject tonight. See, I was getting ready for a camp meeting, so this is a little camp meeting-ish. There's no such thing as live streaming in the Bible. Now, I realize that some people... No. I realize some people have health issues and circumstances beyond their control. I understand that. I believe God understands that tonight. But let me also say this. I also realize there are people sitting on the couch doing nothing out of convenience. And you are in disobedience with God no matter how you justify it. Now, I'm glad you might be tuning in tonight, but you need to listen to this. Because I'm telling you, because and don't give me this, well, you know, COVID... Let me have it. If you can go to Walmart, you can go to the restaurants, you can come to church. I don't want to hear that garbage. It's almost to the point, and I'm just telling you this tonight, it's almost to the point where I'm ready to turn live stream off for a while And here's why. It's like what Brother Sam Davison said. He said, I'm not writing messages for the whole world. I'm writing messages for Faith Baptist Church. And so if you want to hear them, then come to church. Somebody say amen tonight. It amazes me what we, listen, it amazes me what we've done today. We've created things to try and treat the symptoms instead of curing the problem altogether. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, we've got things now, like we've turned Sunday into Sunday fun day, or we've got, you know, sports and little league games and things like that on Sunday afternoons and Sunday evenings, and the list goes on and on and on. And so now we've gotten to this place where people and families are like popping in on Sunday mornings and checking their church off the list so that they can go out and spend the rest of the day doing whatever it is that they want to do. And I'm just telling you tonight, they've got things out of order and they're trying to treat the symptom. And I've even seen churches today, they don't have midweek service and then they don't even have Sunday night service. And I've heard them say things like this, well, that really belongs to families. No, it doesn't. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. But listen, because here's the thing. Look at the results. Look at the results in our day. Listen to me. Families aren't better off and lives aren't better off for doing that. You're not better off for having less church and then centering your life around family and sports and kids' activities and the stuff of the world. We're not better off for making our family and our children our God. No, you're worse off. And we've got, listen, and here's why. Because you got children growing up in your home who are unsaved. And they're being sent the message, God's really not that important. What's important is how good I am at this sport, or how good I am at that, or whatever the case may be, or I'm the one that's important. And listen, and here's the thing. So we've got kids that are lost. We've got mom and dads messing up. We've got the divorce rate among Christians that's just as high as the world's. And we've got people in bondage to sin and addictions. Listen to me tonight. We are not moving forward and winning the world to Jesus Christ. We're going backward to the old things that He delivered us from. Well, preacher, no. Well, don't give me this. Well, preacher, why don't we do this? Why don't we, instead of passing the blame unto God, why don't we look in the mirror? Why don't we look in the mirror and go, you know, maybe, tongue in cheek here, maybe I've gotten some things out of order. And maybe I've taken the Word of God and I've made it subjective to me instead of making myself subjective to it. Is anybody catching this tonight? Making the Word of God authority. And I'm just saying, listen, because here, we look for reasons now to miss church when really we ought to be looking for reasons to be in church and having the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent in our lives and our families. I'm telling you tonight, please listen to this. One of the greatest decisions my wife and I ever made was to center our lives around what was going on in the house of the Lord. To be in every service, to serve the Lord. Listen, to be here Wednesday night, Sunday school, all of those things. Because that's what the Bible says to do. But then we also saw the benefits of that. We saw spiritual growth in our own lives. We were able to fellowship with other people and serve the Lord together. Our kids saw how important God was in our lives, and they trusted Christ as their Savior, and now they're serving the Lord. And the list could go on and on and on. Please listen to this tonight. Don't look at my family and go, well, it's just that way, preacher, because you're the pastor. You know, you really got lucky. Look at me tonight. Luck ain't got nothing to do with it. You're a Christian tonight. You're a believer of the Word of God. Luck shouldn't be in the terminology of the believer. We serve a God who is in control and over all things. Ain't got nothing to do with luck, friend. No, it's got everything to do with us deciding tonight, listen, that God gave us the church. God knew we needed the church. And we centered our lives around Him and what He said in His Word. And we built upon that foundation and God blessed us for it. God blessed us for it. And I'm just saying to you tonight, listen, we're nobody special. We're nobody. And we were making these decisions well before God called us into ministry. Don't look at me tonight and go, well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to be here. No, we chose this well before we were in ministry. Because we understood as a child of God, as a child of God who is saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that's our responsibility. And then God blessed us for it. And I'm just telling you tonight, if He can do it in my family, He can do it in your family. He can do it in your life. He can do it in your marriage. He can do it in your children. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm just telling you. Listen, Paul's writing Titus and saying, Titus, I want you to set things in order. The things that have been lacking and take care of those things. Get some churches organized. Send some qualified men out. Why would he say that? Here's why. Because people need church. God's people need church. And I'm just telling you, we need to get back to old-fashioned Christian obedience and doing what God said to do and realizing this isn't something that's optional. This is commanded. I like what one guy put on a sign one time. Guests are welcome, but members are expected. Amen. We put that on our sign. Somebody go out there and change the letters. But that's true, isn't it? Now, let me get to the second thing. Point two. To set things in order. Look, not only do we need to get back to Christian obedience, but you know, here's the other thing. Churches need to be organized. Churches need to be organized. Now, let's get into some church doctrine. This is my favorite tonight. So he says this, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. The idea here is this, and of course you see the terminology there, ordain elders. And then if you look down at verse number 7, for a bishop must be blameless. He's talking about pastors. So we would understand that. So if there needed to be elders ordained in every city, that meant there either needed to be or already were churches in every city. If so, then here's the thing. We've got to come to this understanding that if so, then part of the setting in order that Paul is speaking of here means this, that Titus, you need to go out and where some of these believers that got saved and they're in a locale, you need to organize them into a independent Bible-believing, dare I say, Baptist church. Well, what does that look like? What does that look like, preacher? Well, probably the clearest example, okay, in the scriptures that I think you and I could find tonight would be found in Acts chapter 8. So if you want to, you can leave your place there in Titus if you want and go with me to the book of Acts tonight in chapter number 8. I love that everything that we do, we can go back to the Bible. And no doubt, organizing New Testament churches, New Testament Baptist churches can certainly be found in the Scriptures. Look at chapter number 8. Pick up with me in verse number 4. So it says this in verse 4. Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to, the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And here's why. Because when the gospel comes to town, the joy is always a product of people being saved. And notice, let's skip down and look at verse number 14 as it kind of deals with a guy named Simon who's an odd fellow. But look down at verse number 14 because it also says this. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They received it by faith. And so they sent unto them Peter and John. All right? And so notice, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when let's stop there because it starts getting back into the character of Simon. Now, let me explain some things here. Just before where we picked up in verse number 4, the Scriptures cover the persecution at the hands of a man by the name of Saul, who we know would eventually become the Apostle Paul. All right? So, as a result of this persecution, saints beginning, they were forced to flee Jerusalem for their own safety. But here's the thing, as they went out, they didn't go empty-handed, they took the gospel with them. And so one of those men was Philip, who was a deacon in the church at Jerusalem, chosen all the way back in Acts chapter 6. So he goes into Samaria, starts preaching the gospel, people were saved. Say, man, Samaria sounds familiar. Yeah, Jesus went there and a woman at the well got saved. Kind of maybe makes you think that maybe there was already a little bit of a foundation there. Maybe some people going, you know, I remember that guy. I remember some crazy lady coming down and telling us about some man. Come see a man that told me all I ever did. That's pretty awesome. You mean he died? Then he was buried? Then he resurrected? I believe. And got saved. Isn't that good? Come on, friend. And so here's the thing. But either way, upon hearing this in verse 14, the church at Jerusalem, right, the church that Christ organized, Peter was the next pastor. So they sent out Peter and John, and basically what they're doing is they're organizing the work here. Though there are some things that are obviously unique here with the Holy Ghost of God, as the book of Acts is a transitional book, there are also some things that are still the same. Peter and John, you know why they were sent? They were sent to validate the work of Philip and to ensure that this was truly of and upon Jesus Christ. Come on, it was founded upon His gospel. And people were genuinely being saved. Is anybody getting this? And they were scripturally baptized. Come on, friend. No. And I'm telling you. So here's the thing. Listen to this. Churches start churches. Did you catch that? And secondly, so it's churches start churches, not some maverick guy on his own. And secondly, churches are founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God as pinned down by the apostles in what we call the New Testament. Isn't that awesome? Not some man-made tradition. I said not some man-made tradition or false doctrine. Is anybody catching this tonight? See, the point is this, what Titus, where you and I are at in Titus, what Titus was to do in Crete as he was left there by the Apostle Paul and sent out with the authority of the church at Antioch. Come on, this is still, listen, that's exactly what he was supposed to do. And this is still the pattern you and I are to follow today. As already mentioned, the Bible knows nothing about live stream. Though it can be a tool for the ministry and a help for people with circumstances beyond their control, it's really not obedience to the Scriptures. The Bible knows nothing of this. Listen to this. No. Let's go a little further here. The Bible knows nothing of sitting on a couch out of convenience and watching someone on TV or the internet and calling it church. The Bible, listen to this. The Bible knows nothing of gathering together with other believers at a quote-unquote satellite church to watch someone on a big screen at another location. That is based on the false doctrine of universal church. There is no universal church in the Scriptures. There's local, visible assemblies called a church, with ordained elders, pastors leading them. You understand? The Bible, The Bible knows nothing of these things that we have going on today in American Christianity. The Bible knows nothing of rejecting biblical and pastoral authority and starting your own church or work in your garage or home. So, I'm meddling a little bit, but we're going to meddle. Because the Bible, listen, this is the garbage that's going on in our day and time. I remember when I was pastoring in Cassville, and we had a whole pile of, you know, this one family that came in and had just, I mean, filled up the whole row. And I was like, this is awesome. I want about eight families like that. We'll just fill up the whole church. And they visited our church. And here's what they, and so I called, you know, later on, I called them and said, hey, you got any questions about our church? They said, no. He said, we were just kind of looking for something, but really we're following after the pattern of Jim Bob and 18 kids and counting and all that. Back in the day, look up here. I don't think that panned out very well. Chaos, confusion, because it's not this. That wasn't even in my notes. That was all free. But I'm just telling you. Listen, the point is, this is the stuff people are doing in our day and time. And they're doing it out of their own pride and out of their own flesh. They say, well, preacher, we do church, yet they are still out of order with the Scriptures, and the result is this, they're not better off for it. They're not growing in their faith. They're not serving the Lord God. They're not bringing glory unto Him. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm just telling you, and here's the sad thing, churches aren't better off for it either. Real scriptural churches are struggling, trying to find people who will submit themselves to the authority of God's Word. And they're having to close the doors because people won't do it. Because we've got our own thing today. We've got it on YouTube, or we've got it on Facebook, or we've got it on whatever. And the dynamic of our society is folding up, and here's the key to it all right here. A church, listen to me tonight, a church, mentioned 116 times in the New Testament. It's a local, visible assembly of baptized believers constituted together to carry out the Great Commission given in Matthew chapter 28. The word church in the Scripture is the Greek word ekklesia, which means this, an assembly. Jesus, the first time He uses this word, is in Matthew 16:18, where He says to Peter, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. It's a play on names. He's not saying Peter, the church is going to be founded on Peter. Please listen to this. That's Catholicism. I went to Rome, I saw it. It's a lie. Peter's nickname meant stone, as in a small pebble. Thou art Peter, upon this rock, speaking of Himself, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, if you don't believe me, you can read Peter's epistles where he acknowledges who the rock is. It's Jesus Christ. You understand? No. Here's the thing. Please listen to this. When He went, I will build My ecclesia, none of the disciples live in going, what is He talking about? What is an ecclesia? What is a church? What is an ecclesia? Do you know what an ecclesia is? I don't know what an ecclesia is. Do you know what an ecclesia is? What is that? That is weird. He's just making up stuff now. None of them did that because they all knew what it was. It was a local visible assembly. But Jesus, listen to this, But Jesus put uniqueness with this assembly when He said this, My.
Amen.
My. Personal pronoun. These people, not this building, these people belong to Me. They're saved by Me. They serve Me. They glorify Me. They're My people. They're My children. They're I'm telling you, so that's what He says, My. And what I'm saying, listen, so in other words, watch this. This wasn't just any assembly gathered together for any purpose. This was His people gathered together for His purpose, which is to carry out His word. Look up here. That's exactly what we're supposed to do as Faith Baptist Church. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Proper organization of a church should center on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of His word. That's what makes this assembly unique from any other assembly. A church, listen, and this is the thing, is that American Christianity is trying to reinvent it apart from the Scriptures. Listen, a church is not a social gathering. We don't just all come in here and hang out and, you know, start the smoke screen up and just, you know, chill out. And that's not what we are. That's not what the Bible is. It's not a social gathering. It's not a gathering for entertainment. And it's an assembly of baptized believers that they've been constituted together with the purpose of carrying out what Jesus said in His Word. This coming Sunday, we celebrate 68 years of being an organized, independent Baptist church. We were started out of Kansas City Baptist Temple. We were started with the authority of another New Testament Baptist church, Scripture. They were scripturally, listen, people received the gospel by faith, which is what the Bible says. So they were saved. They were scripturally baptized, immersion into water, which properly symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nobody was sprinkled on. Nobody was poured on. And then they were brought together in the common faith in Titus. The common faith of Jesus Christ. And they were founded upon the New Testament Scriptures. Do you know this? That basically summarizes exactly what a church covenant states. And our purpose is to see the Word of God being carried out by standing for the faith, preaching the faith, living the faith, and seeing the gospel go forth into our community and even beyond with church planting and missionary sent out like Japan, which ours are going to, and Ecuador that we've already got one in. And again, listen, though we could sit here and talk about a multitude of things, because I love this stuff. But here's the point. The moment that we move from those foundational things is the moment we are heading in a direction that is out of order. And I'll promise you this, we'll never be better for it. We'll be worse. Because chaos and confusion always follows when things go out of order. I have a preacher friend whose dad was also a pastor. And he and I have talked about this story on several occasions. His dad pastored a church in Amarillo, Texas. And probably Brother Eric and maybe some other guys may know who he is. I'm not going to mention their name tonight. But he pastored a church in Amarillo, Texas. And after he became the pastor, he found out, he began to discover the history of the church and come to find out they started because a family got upset with another church that was there in the same city. And so they left the church and they started their own church, and ultimately it was a maverick operation. And so here's what this man of God did. I want you to listen to this. He got the whole church together and taught them out of the Scriptures what a church is, how it's to be biblically and scripturally organized and set things in order. And then he took the whole church and got together with the other church and the pastor and took all of the people over to that church and apologized. He apologized, and then they went out of that church with their blessing and reorganized the work. That's awesome. You, Yeah, man, that's a powerful, and I'm just telling you right now, that took courage. And that took faith by that pastor and even those people to willingly go, you know what? We've been making this thing subjective to us. But we want to put it over us and make ourselves subjective to it. And you say, well, I mean, really, did it really help? You better believe it helped. You want to talk about letting go of all the past bitterness and unforgiveness and scars and all that stuff? Listen, it was all done away with and God began to grow and bless the ministry and the people. Why? Why would he do that? Here's why, because they set things in order. Now let me also say this tonight. Because here's the other thing. If the command to Titus was to set things in order on the Isle of Crete by organizing churches and ordaining elders in every city because of its extreme importance to believers, and believers needed to be in a church where because of the extreme importance of spiritual growth, then could it also be said tonight that believers also need to be in a church that's trying to follow the pattern of the New Testament Scriptures as close as they can? I think the clear answer to that is yes. Well, why? Because here, listen, look up here. Because the purpose of being in church is to grow in your faith. How can you grow in your faith if you're in a place that isn't concerned about faith at all? But they're concerned about doing their own thing. Listen, we've got too many people today, and they're looking for a church for all the wrong reasons. Is it entertaining to me? Is it have programs for me and my family, my kids? What can this church, what can it do for me? When we're really, here's what the real questions need to be. What can you do for the church that you're in? Here's another question. Have you prayed about it? Have you sought God's will in where He wants you to be? Because what I found is this, is that God will confirm that stuff quite often. I always think about the Waters family when they started visiting Faith Baptist Church. And they came in one night and said, I wonder if this is a King James only church. And I was preaching that night on King James, on the King James Version of the Scriptures. Then they came back the next time and said, I wonder where this church stands on the ordinances. And I preached that night on the ordinances. Then the next time they came back and said, I wonder if they're interested in having people serve the Lord. And I talked about using your spiritual gifts. And by the time it was all said and done, I walked down the parking lot with Gary and Angel Water. And Gary looked at me and said, I think we know where the Lord wants us. Because they were praying about it. And guess what? God spoke. Have you sought God's will in where He wants you? Is the church that you are considering, is it striving to line up with the Word of God? See, why not? Why aren't people asking these things instead of being so wrapped up in self? Because you and your family's spiritual welfare will also be determined by the church's spiritual welfare that you become a part of. Corporately speaking, we as a church, we've been started and set in order. But I want to say tonight, as pastor of Faith Baptist Church, we better fight with every bit of being we got to keep it in order. Because you mark it down, Satan is after us. But individually speaking, listen to this tonight, one of the greatest decisions that you could ever make is to go, you know what, I really don't know what I'm doing. But the God who created me, who created marriage, who created family, He knows how to make it work. And the best thing that I could do is just submit myself to this and make it the authority of my life. And if Christ died for me and saved me and he instituted the church so that I could be a part of it and grow in my faith and learn, listen, the greatest thing you could ever do is do what the Lord said to do. That's setting things in order. Now, you didn't know I could get all that out of that little verse. But the reality is, it's there. And we need it tonight. Can I ask you something? Are things in low order in your life? your family, your home. Let's all stand tonight.